last night it started. I don't know what kind of company man this is, but if I had a boss who called me a fat slob or a fat ugly person, I would probably be personally offended. This gentleman has done this before, so it's not a big deal to me, but it does show that his texts, when you don't respond to him, he gets personally angry and takes cheap shots and calls names. You know, that doesn't bother me a bit. It's the text and the way he does it, because children call each other names, and he just uses a lot of foul language. And to me, if you're gonna hire somebody, you better be serious about it, because you're beginning to sound like an old broken record. And I'm not gonna read all of the text. He's called me an ugly fat piece of bacon, which doesn't offend me. I mean, that's his opinion, and he can call me all the names he wants, but this is my peace of mind to this whole thing. First of all, I am forgiving to a point, and then I am also reminded of what I was told by him. And he said, in his own words, that I would not hire anybody associated with you and not to contact him ever again in text. So I'm kind of like laughing, because he's getting mad at his own words being thrown back at him, and calling me names is his only way to defend himself. But he claims he owns a company. He claims that he's a fashionista here in Los Angeles. And, you know, I wouldn't doubt it, but calling me names and stuff like that, all you're going to do is make yourself look worse than what you already do. And I don't have to show the text. I just have to talk about it and the man who's doing it. See, I'm old-fashioned in a way. I don't let people's name-calling get to me. I used to. I mean, I really used to let them call me names get to me, and I would say something. But bullies don't deserve the time of day that they get. Bullies, you let them do what they want to do. Let them call you names. Let them do their own little thing. And sooner or later, they're going to realize, hey, it's not working, because he's not responding. Well, I'm not going to respond, because by you going to a child level, the only way to deal with a child that is out of control, name-calling, rude, and disrespectful to me, is not to respond. If you want to have a conversation, then I'll respond. But in general, there is no response. I'm pretty sure that's clear enough right there. The ideas that I get and the things I hear all the time is so remarkable. I was reading the news article earlier today that talked about how pride has become a way of shaming people. And in a way, it has. I mean, the LGBTIA movement has become a complete body-shaming movement in a way, because if you're not looking one way, they call you names, and if you look too much like the other way, they call you names. And, you know, excuse me, but people are people, humans are humans, and calling somebody a name really doesn't serve a purpose. It might if it has a meaning, but to sit here and call me a piece of bacon? Excuse me? I have better things to do than to be called names over text. If you're gonna text me names, then go ahead. Call me every name in the book, but just remember, you're the one calling me it, so that makes you look bad in a way. I don't respond to it. I just repeated what you said. I read what you said, and I'm just repeating what you said. Now, if you think I'm ugly, then why are you texting me? If you think I'm rude, why are you texting me? Obviously, it hasn't occurred to you yet that I have less things to do than sit here and take rude comments. That's why I stopped texting. Once you're rude, I don't want to talk to you. In essence, if you were going to hire me, or you were serious about giving me a job, you'd do it. You wouldn't be rude. You wouldn't be so disrespectful. And that's not very professional anyways. Now, my podcast, Peace of Mind, is where I come on and give you a piece of my mind. So here it is. In simple layman's terms, I don't want to work for somebody who can be rude 1 minute and nice the next, and call me names 1 minute and then say I'm a friend and I'm trying to help you out. Because that's not the way a friend acts. You have to be really, really out there to think that. And I'm not that far out there. And I know that people in certain positions should not be throwing nasty text messages at somebody they haven't met face to face. Second, my relationship, my personal relationship, has nothing to do with my professional one. I'm professional about my podcast. I love doing it. The reason I put the Martin Luther King speech in this podcast is to remind you that we have to do stuff together. We have to connect together. We have to be one with each other. And we have to understand that not everything's perfect. So, what do? How do we go to perfect? Well, it's simple. We start with listening. Not just to each other, but to the people around us. So I'm giving you guys an opportunity to speak. If you're being bullied, send a voicemail. If you're being bullied, call somebody. If you're being called nasty names and sent nasty pictures, block them. Because you don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. And I ain't about to try and go into details of why you block them. Just block them. Because you are just as empowering as anybody else. Just as understanding as anybody else. If they really care, if somebody really cares to give you a job, they aren't going to call you names and they aren't going to tell you something that's untrue. And then when you find out the job's not real, it gives you a sense of question. You start to question everything somebody says when they do that. That's why I question this person. Because now that he's done it to me 3 times, I'm really starting to question his credibility. As a man, as a business owner, and as a friend. Because you don't do that stuff. You come out and you talk about it. You come out and tell the other person what's going on. And you listen, and you exchange ideas for conversation. That's what makes a good business person. Calling somebody a fat piece of bacon over text, sending nasty text messages just because of something that you said in the first place, fine. Send all the nasty text you want. But what you say does come back to you. And you said that you would not hire me or anybody associated with me. So your comment came back and bit you in the butt. And I really think that if you have a personality problem, then you need to listen to Martin Luther King. Because today's society, tomorrow's society, society in general, is not going to be the same. Because there is respect, there is love, and there is people out there who care. So, I do hope that you enjoy this podcast. I do hope that you listen to the music and listen to the Martin Luther King speech, and you enjoy your Saturday. Because this podcast and all my podcasts are open for sponsors and interviews. And I'm really happy to have all of you here and to be hearing all of you comment, share your feedback. That's what's important. So love and happiness to all and many blessings. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove. I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to move, I got the groove, yeah. I got the groove, I got to. I'm doing the best of for today. I'm going to have a long podcast. So I put the Martin Luther King speech in because it is Pride Month and we do need to talk about standing together and being one with people. And I have a bullying situation going on that I wanted to talk about today, so I figured, why not? Tell me what you think. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'm going to play this sound bite. It's the complete, yes, it is from YouTube. Thank you to YouTube. It is the Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech. It aired on August 28th, 1963. Dr. King was doing the march on Washington, and a lot of people, millions of people, came from around the world and saw it, millions around the world on television, and they heard this man speak, and I want you to hear it now.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds.
Actually, I have to agree with him because the check has come back insufficient. But it's not by us. It's not. It's by the political party. See, the problem with politics in today's society is people don't listen. They don't care to listen. Reasonable people have reasonable conversations about everything that matters. Nothing's going to shake that promise. Other people who don't want to listen, don't have reasonable values, don't have moral core, don't care what other people say, so they're not going to listen. That's the sadness of this whole thing. We are treated as we see, as we know. The I Have a Dream speech was a very powerful weapon. And it was used to unify a country. This speech is like everything else I've listened to. The wrongs of one reflect on everybody. If the country cannot pull together in a time of moral despair, then this country will never come together again. You can listen to the whole speech. You can pick and choose the words, you can do everything else, but at the end of the day, you cannot pick and choose how Martin Luther King said it. He said it with conviction, he said it with valor, he said it with honesty. He spoke the words that meant everything to him. And to anybody out there listening right now, you will not be the first and the last to hear this speech. This speech will go on in a decade from now. This speech will be repeated at every school in America, every Bible study in America, because Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, Reverend Martin Luther King, knew the price of freedom. So, I hope that when you're finished listening to this speech, I hope that you come back and you say, how could we have gone so wrong as a people? There's many more things I'm going to state during this podcast, so just plan on listening to the whole thing. Stay tuned.
We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. Come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summer of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred.
Amen to that. I'm sorry, I gotta stop it right there. A lot of people in America, in major groups, have been doing that exact thing, and he just said it. Do not drink from that cup of bitterness and hatred. That's what destroys America. You, as a people, we as a community must recognize, report, and tell the truth to the people. We're no better or worse if we stand together in unity and in harmony and come out against hate. We need to unify as a people and say hate no longer lives here. We need to stand up and say that using a political battle stone of racism to win elections does not happen on this platform or happen in the media. We need to yank the cord that these media tycoons have so often held on to, because they're the ones creating the hate. They're the ones creating the injustice that you, the voter, you, the listener, you, the person who goes out every day and works hard for the money that you earn, who wants to be recognized as an equal opportunity person, who wants to build a business, who wants to have a dream, who wants to know the right from the wrong, and who wants to be one with everybody, who wants to be recognized as a person, not as a race or as in color, but as a person. That is not the way we do this. This hatred has to stop. And we have to start recognizing people for people. Everybody's human. Man is man, woman is woman. Love does not have a gender identity. Stop identifying and stop using hate as a way to gain understanding or privilege. Just listen. If understanding is a quality of life, then we're on a big milestone of life.
We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny. And they have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. And as we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our bodies, heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only.
And there's another problem. That is that we have become a label. We have labeled everything we do in America. It's not just a label on you. It's not just a label on me. It's a label on everything. We are labeled because we allow these pioneers of social injustice to continue to work in our government. I am very, very disappointed. I mean, disappointed not just in the way, but in how undisciplined these groups are. Antifa, one of them. If you promote violence, if you cannot be disciplined and fight on a higher plane of peace and prosperity and common sense, we have nothing. We are just as unjust and unfair as the next person. And if we do not call out racism or Marxism or communism or whatever it may be, we will never win. We, as a people, need to understand that there is justice and then there is unfair, unwavering justice. There is good cops, then there is bad cops. And it is those good cops that we need to look to in times of need and necessity and talk about. We need to understand that our lives mean more to us if we keep our freedoms, and if we understand that we cannot let radical, extremist views cloud, and I mean cloud, our judgment. We have to obtain an understanding of life, liberty, justice, and the pursuit of happiness for all of us. We need to get rid of the labels. We need to get rid of the hatred in America. We are no better when we are hating each other, killing innocent people, throwing rocks, burning buildings, and destroying property than when we are not listening. When you're not listening, you're not understanding. And when you're not understanding, you really, truly do not understand his message. His message talks of discipline, talks of unity, talks of walking together in unity, talks of calling out injustice, calling out racism, calling out these leaders who have done this before. We have one sitting in the White House right now. He is racist. He is unjust to the seat that he sits in. And to everyone who thinks
that it is a lost cause to fight, you are wrong. It is a good time to listen, to understand what other people are saying about the man that sits in that Oval Office. His mistakes are his undoing. He has not apologized for his comments. His comments have destroyed the very fabric, not just the very essence, but the very fabric of our system. We cannot move forward if we do not call out the wrongs of high-powered people. We cannot change if we do not focus and call out the wrongs of these people in the White House. We are guilty of our own crime when we ignore the comments, the labels. We need to address the hate when it happens. We need to tell these people that this is unacceptable. And we need to tell big media like CNN, Fox News, whatever media outlets are out there, that their commentary, whether it be fair or not, is unfair to those who seek truth. We need to tell fake media like Jim Acosta and all those that their reporting is hurting the very fabric of humanity. They're destroying the humanity of life. Raids, burning buildings, stuff like that, and it's not covered in the media. But one thing that was covered, which I find very astonishing, which I'll tell you after this.
We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities. Knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
Equal, he said. He said equal. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't hear anybody saying that. But I know it's true. I know that everybody out there on social media, on Instagram, across the world, is equal to me. No one is better than me. No one is more favorable than me. We are all created equal, and we must show equality in this time of need. We must show unity. We must show common sense. We must build values that never falter and never fail us. Our values are what lead us into the light. Our values make us successful in today's world. Not crashing buildings, killing people, committing violent acts of injustice, but coming together as a community, removing the labels, understanding who we are as a people. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a key. We are all equal in God's eye, and God created us in His own unique, special way. He has said, love His fellow man, and we must love each other. We must commit to each other in the most impersonable way to make a point of equality. To bare our souls and say that what is going on in America is wrong. To say that for the wrong that is happening in America, we stand together and we unify in the message. We unify for justice, we unify to stop labels, and we unify to call out big government liars. Big politicians who have done this to us. If we do not call them out, we will never see the end of dishonesty. Dishonesty has ruined, not burned, but ruined our common core values. Our values of respect, love, understanding, appreciation, and showing actual commitment to each other. Humanity is falling apart, and there's one to blame. It's the government and the media. There is no reliable source of information if we do not stand and we do not call out the wrongs of our government. The man I'm talking about, he's sitting in the White House in the Oval Office. He was on Breakfast, the Breakfast Club. He made a statement that was very unprofessional, and his comment didn't garner half as much attention as what the other president garnered, and it is wrong. Really, it is wrong to not call him out. You ignore one statement because of one man that you hate. I'm still trying to figure out why you hate him. See, that's the thing. Hate is a funny thing. Hate is the devil's demon, the devil's seed, the devil's spawn, as I like to say. And it spawns more than just one type of hate. The person who hates can hate no more because he does not know why he hates. He just hates. A group of people willing to do anything to make a statement, bust windows, burn buildings, kill innocent people, try and maim a man to make a statement, try to destroy a federal courthouse, try to put comments, spray paint spray on somebody's house, try to examine why this is happening. And I can tell you why it's happening. Because of a label created by the media. Not just by the media, but by the people who let the media do it. The problem with this is that when we do not talk about these issues, when we do not discuss these issues, when we overlook these issues, ladies and gentlemen, these issues of humanity, these issues of equality, these issues of understanding, these issues of confidence, they allow this government, this entourage of hate that is being created, allows this to happen. And if you, as an American citizen, you, as a person, cannot stand up and say, hey, wait a minute. Why are you doing this? What is the message? Destruction of personal property? Injustice? You're being just as unjust as the people who started this war and have carried it through the last 4 presidents. See, it is not one party line. It is multiple parties. They have abused humanity. And we've allowed it to happen. We've not called it out. We've not said it's wrong. And we won't focus on it. It is not how you look at somebody. It is how you act. Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Be kind to the ones around you and treat them as you would want to be treated by everybody else. Don't be somebody who's going to destroy stuff just because you didn't get your way. A child who is raised properly understands right from wrong. It is wrong to destroy buildings. It is wrong to create hate. It is wrong to ignore somebody for saying something. But what is more wrong than that is the fact, just the simple fact, that we do not face our problems. We let our problems build. Stay tuned. I got more after this.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my 4 little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day.
And that is the truth. We should always And I do mean always. Look at the things going on around us. I heard a story a long time ago that said that for every unfair thing out there, there's something even more unfair about life. It's when government takes over. It's when we allow big government to come into our lives, tell us how to live. And for that, we are just as guilty as the next man. For that we do not understand, we are just as guilty. But the irony of it all is that we allow it to happen. I have not heard one comment or one statement to change anything. We fight, we bicker back and forth, we say words we shouldn't say, we do things we shouldn't do, we destroy property, we cater to the whims of poor people who share hate. But we don't answer for our problems. We pass them along. Yeah, we're good. We're good at passing a problem. We elect a man who has, in current times, made comments that would be, to me, very uncouth. Very unpresidential. But yet, we don't call them out. No. We don't even ask for why. We simply accept it. Now, I personally would not accept hate as a way of gaining peace. I think that there is far more better ways of handling a peace deal. I think we need to understand that we are not one of the fortunate or few who are proud to represent America by destroying our America. That is not the way to win. I'm calling for unity. I'm not calling for destruction. I will not call for destruction. I will call for unity. I want peace. I want prosperity. I want America. I want humanity to prosper. But we got to put a stop to big media. We got to put a stop to labels. And we got to stand up and say, hey, this is enough. Stop using one person or one race to demonstrate your power over the top of us. It doesn't work like that. If we are to be equal, then we need to stand and show equality. We need to help our brothers and sisters when they're down. We need to get better to know who we are. And one of the things that we can do as a community is say, you know, really, honestly, I don't need your help. I want real people to help me. I want real life. If someone's going to hand me a check, someone's going to hand me a dollar bill and say, build a business, or hand me a dollar bill and say, let's make this happen, I'm going to look at you and say, make what happen? Because we got to do it together. We've got to achieve the greatest harmony together. We have to do things differently than others before us. We are not simply just a bunch of numbers. We are people. And we cannot live on a prayer. We have to live in reality. And reality is if we keep destroying our own greatest commodity, we will have no prosperity. If you keep smashing those windows, you will not have heat. You will have snow in your house. If you keep breaking those doors, you will not have privacy. You will have an open door. And if we keep busting and contributing to burning places, you won't have a home because you burned it up. We need to stop and think about what we're doing as people. We need to also think about what people have said about this. It is our history on the line. It's not just our history. It's everybody's history. And we have to live with it for the rest of our lives. After this ends, I'm going to take a brief break, and I will be right back. And I hope you enjoy the music.
This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' cry. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
No. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no.